It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, April 18. How are we doing this morning? Glad you can join me to talk some golf. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. Hope you're going to play some golf this afternoon. It's supposed to get somewhat warm, right? I'm in Florida until later today, so whole different story down here. Actually, went out and hit balls yesterday, and it was only the day after I got my second vaccine on Thursday afternoon, and boy, was I tired. Thank goodness I didn't get sick from that second vaccine shot, but I'm definitely not 100% stamina-wise. A lot of muscle soreness. And my left arm felt like it was going to fall off. But other than that, glad to have the vaccine behind me. That's for sure. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th and the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And do we have a show for you this morning? I do my best. All of you who watched the Masters saw Hideki Matsuyama become the first male player from Japan to win a major title. It turned out to be a dramatic finish, like we were talking about last Sunday. It always seems like there's compelling stories and dramatic finishes at the Masters. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, sadly, what got as much or more attention was the controversy surrounding honoree tea ceremony in which Wayne Player, who was canning for his dad, the legendary Gary Player, held up a sleeve of Encore balls right behind Lee Alder for the camera and the whole world to see. Yes, it was a foolish move on Wayne Player's part. In a most traditional ceremony in which Lee Alder, the first black player to compete in the Masters, was invited to join, Wayne Player held up a sleeve of balls to promote the brand. Not cool, not smart. And not only did he take attention away from the historic moment that should have been all about Lee Alder, he put his father in a very precarious position. Talk about embarrassing for Gary Player to have your grown son pull a move like that. Well, I reached out to Gary Player earlier in the week and was able to get an interview with him. And you will hear that interview this morning starting at around 7:40. And yeah, I tried to cover a lot of ground in a very short amount of time. And, you know, we talk about what he has to say about his son, Wayne, and, you know, what Wayne did during that honorary ceremony for all to see. And what Gary has to say about reports that Augusta National will ban Wayne Player from future Masters. Wayne's brother Mark weighed in on Wayne's idiotic move. And so I asked Gary about that as well. And Mark used to run his father's marketing, and that relationship soured. In fact, there was a lawsuit involved between father and son. And this has all been reported, so... You know, I have to say, you know, there were tough questions to ask of somebody I really admire. Gary Player, winner of 9 major titles, 9 senior major titles, who has spent his life trying to do good as a global golf ambassador. You know, he talks about his friendship with Lee Alder, how he basically lobbied the government of South Africa during apartheid to get them to allow Lee Alder to go to South Africa and play tournaments there. And, you know, Gary could have told me during this interview that he didn't want to discuss any of this. You know, that he just wanted to focus on Hideki Matsuyama's win and, you know, the competition itself. But he didn't. He answered all my questions and didn't hesitate to do so. So whether you agree with Gary Player or not, the way he handled this interview and didn't shy away from the questions about his son, and you'll hear it at around 7:40, I think that's most admirable. I mean, these segments are 15 to 16 minutes at most. And Gary Player always has a lot to say. He's 85 years old, and he has lived more than a full life. He has extraordinary life experiences and messages to share. And it's challenging to have this difficult kind of conversation, particularly in a relatively short period of time. Last June, I actually had the opportunity to visit Gary Player at his daughter Amanda's home in Pennsylvania. And he and his wife Vivian were spending time with her and her family there for a couple weeks. There was a TV shoot, and they were so kind to let me and to let the camera crew into their home. And I spent 2 hours talking golf with him. We covered every topic in golf I could think of, every aspect of his storied career. And of course, you know, Gary Player threw in a lot of his own opinions on politics, on his thoughts on winning the Medal of Freedom, lessons he's learned from Mandela, Churchill, and others. And he's from South Africa, but he spends most of his time here in the United States, and he is so very proud of this country. And to get that much time with this legend last June was truly an honor. I even did sit-ups and push-ups with him in the driveway. He's so proud of his fitness. And he works very hard every day to stay in shape at his young age of 85. So we also talk, obviously, about Hideki Matsuyama's win, about his friendship with Lee Alder, his thoughts about that historic opening ceremony that Lee Alder was a part of. And then we get into his thoughts on Wayne's antics during that honorary ceremony and on his son's comments, Mark's comments. So I hope you find it interesting. I find Hideki Matsuyama's historic win at the Masters just fascinating on a number of levels. Japan is a small country, as you know, and they are so golf crazed. It's great. And coming up in a few minutes, I'll visit with longtime veteran golf correspondent John Steinbreder. He's written numerous books on golf. He's a senior writer for Global Golf Post and Masters.com. And John has spent a lot of time in Japan. In fact, he covered that Asian Amateur Championship in 2010, which Hideki won, and that win gave Hideki the opportunity to compete as an amateur in the 2011 Masters tournament. In fact, Matsuyama was the leading amateur that year and won low amateur honors. I have to say, I was nervous for Matsuyama last Sunday. He went into that final round with a 4-shot lead over 4 guys, and when I saw his first tee shot go into the trees and land on the pine straw, I thought, uh-oh, he's going to collapse and his life will never be the same. The pressure of holding on to the lead in the final round of the Masters to win your very first major title, the first major title for any male player from Japan, I just thought, it's just too severe. All of Japan is watching this guy. And right off the bat, Hideki's lead shrunk from 4-1. He bogeyed that first hole, and Will Zalatoris birdied the first two holes. And again, I'm thinking, hey, this might be Will Zalatoris' day, which it almost was. But then Hideki birdied the second hole, Zalatoris bogeyed the third, and off they went. Hideki's lead got to 6 by the time he reached the 11th. Then it was Xander Schauffele's turn to turn up the drama. Schauffele rallied to birdie holes 12, 13, 14, and 15, which moved Schauffele to within 2 after Hideki bogeyed the 15th when his approach shot flew the green, rolled into the creek. And just when you think Schauffele was going to continue to pull off this amazing comeback, he birdies the 16th, sending his 8-iron short and left. It bounced and rolled into the pond. Then it was Zalatoris' turn again. He bogeyed holes 10 and 12. Then he birdied 15 and 17 and sunk that long bomb to save par in the 18th. Well, as it turned out, Hideki bogeyed 3 of the last 4 holes, including that bogey in the 18th, but with the 2-shot lead heading to the final hole. Even with that shaky finish, he carded that plus 1. He prevailed by 1 shot. And what a Masters debut for Will Zalatoris. He ended up finishing 2nd, as you know, just 1 shot back. So it turned out to be a very dramatic finish. And, you know, I thought the most moving photo of the entire Masters was the one of Matsuyama's caddy, Shota Fuji, when he bowed to the 18th fairway, I'm sure you saw the photograph. It was a gesture of Japanese respect. And boy, did that photo speak a thousand words. It was very touching, very moving. And when you think of Japan, they have a long history of golf. Jumbo, Osaki, Asayo, Ayaki, Tommy, Nakajima, they played in the 70s and 80s on the Japan Golf Tour. They all earned top 10 finishes and majors. Aoki was the first Japanese player to win a PGA Tour event, and he finished second in the 1980 US Open that Jack Nicklaus won. And Nakajima, who tied for eighth at the Masters in 86, he actually was an analyst for the Tokyo Broadcasting System. And you heard his calls. CBS cut to his calls throughout their coverage of the final round. It was just extraordinary, as it always seems to be. All right, well, moving to the RBC heritage at Harbortown Golf Links, how great is it that Stewart Cink is playing lights out, 47 years old? He takes a five-shot lead into today's final round. On Friday, he also had a five-shot lead. He shot his second straight 8-under 63 with his son Regan caddying for him. Reagan, I guess it is. And at 18 under, Cink leads Colin Morikawa by five. They'll both be paired together in this afternoon's final round. Morikawa, he shot a 67 yesterday. Now, Morikawa is 24 years old. He's around the same age as Stewart Cink's son. And Cink shot a 2-under 69 yesterday. His 18 under is a 54-hole tournament record. He'll be looking to win there for the fourth time. And, what a story. What a celebration of father-son moments, of age, of loving the game, as Stewart Cink certainly does. He's so joyful and certainly appreciative of his abilities at his age. And he has to be enjoying every second of this. It's so great to see. He was on the show last year and just a delightful guy. Really nice guy. The LPGA Tour in Hawaii for the Lotte Championship. And Lydia Ko earned her 16th win, her first win since 2018. She beat Imbi Park, Se-Young Kim, Leona Maguire, and Nelly Korda by seven shots. I've always admired Lydia Ko. Her swing is so fluid. Back in 2015, she was the youngest player, male or female, to be ranked number one in golf. She was 17 years, 9 months, and 9 days back then, ranked number one. She's won two majors. She won the 2015 Evian Championship, the 2016 ANA Inspiration. And she, fought back. She hasn't won in a couple of years. In fact, last year at Marathon, she had a five-shot lead with 6 holes to play. And she ended up losing to Daniel Kang on the final hole. She double bogeyed that final hole. And they kept talking about how that collapse has, had greatly affected her. Well, now that's in the rear view mirror as she won yesterday in Hawaii. Good for her. And then at the ANA Inspiration, I'm sure you saw that, she was 8 shots back beginning the final round of that first major on the women's calendar. She shot a 10-under 62, the lowest final round in a major championship. She didn't win it, but boy, what a run. The Champions Tour is in Naples. So much going on. They're playing golf all over the place. Chubb Classic, Freddie Couples, he shot a 3-under 69 yesterday. He is tied for the lead with Robert Carlsen. At 12 under, Couples and Carlsen lead Ryder Cup captain Steve Stricker, Bernhard Langer, and Alex Jacob by one shot. Couple shot a 63 in round one, his lowest round of the season. Way to go, Freddie! All you Freddie Couples fans out there. All right, we're going to take a quick break and talk about the golf culture in Japan and beyond with golf writer extraordinaire and world traveler John Steinbreder.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann LaGori on the Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. Glad you can join us. And we are joined now by John Steinbreder, author, senior writer for Global Golf Post, Masters.com, world traveler. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me. It's great to be spending Sunday morning together talking golf.
I appreciate you getting up early. And years ago, you and I were part of a golf group that visited Morocco and played in the King of Morocco's tournament. And I know you've gone back every year and you have some projects happening over there, which is very exciting. But my memory from, I had a lot of great memories from that trip, and I'm talking a long time ago, but the women played on a separate course than the men. And I remember my team winning, but we couldn't win top honors because we were told the princess always wins. Is that still the case? Do you know?
It's good to be king. Let's just say that there's always a king or prince or princess. So, yes, I think they've always got a little bit of a leg up on the rest of the field when they play over there. But it's still a great venue, a great place, as you know. And, yeah, I love going back there. I've been there 13 times now, and it's my second home. I just love the country and the golf over there and the people.
Does the king still throw those incredible parties? That was some party.
Yes. More his brother's the prince, but yes, they still like to have a good time in the evening as well.
Boy, that was just an extraordinary trip. Anyway, let's talk about the popularity of golf in Japan. You know, for a small country, they have, what, 2,300 courses?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, for centuries, they were a very close society, and then Commodore Perry, you know, steamed into Edo Bay there back in the mid-1800s, and that kind of started to open up things in Japan. It was almost their hand was forced, and so they started allowing Western businesses to set up shop in Japan as they allowed their citizens to work overseas and to have their kids educated overseas. And, you know, by the early part of the 20th century, much as was going on in America, people started to become really interested in golf in Japan and started to set up clubs over there. Courses started to get built in the 1920s, so they had their golden age of golf course architecture as we did. Harry S. Colt was among the architects that went over there and designed some tracks, and it really became very popular in the 20s and 30s. And interestingly, one of the first members of Augusta National was a Japanese friend of Clifford Roberts, who was based in New York, and the second Masters in 1936 had two Japanese players in it, Torchi Toda, one of the great names of all time, and then Chick Chin. And so, you know, the game was really booming in Japan, relatively speaking, for a small country. And then, of course, World War II came along, and it really picked up again, though, in the 1950s and 60s, and got really popular thanks in large part to IMG and Mark McCormick. And he would bring over Gary Player, who you had on, and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, and they would play matches over there, big three matches between the three of them. Or they'd get Gary and Jack would play, or Gary and Arnold would play, a couple of local players. And that's where it really took off then, because they became enamored of the big three. The big three became great golf stars, but also they became great endorsement stars. They started endorsing a lot of Japanese products. Then, of course, Masters was started to be televised, and they developed a lot of interest in the Masters as well. So that sort of perfect harmonic convergence of Jack, Gary, and Arnold, the Masters, and the boom of the 60s really sowed a lot of seeds for golf to take off in Japan.
Yeah, you mentioned Gary Player. That interview that I did with him coming up at about 7:40 this morning, he talks a little bit about being in Japan and the incredible passion that the Japanese have for golf. And so you were there back in 2010, right, when Hideki Matsuyama won that Asia Pacific amateur title, right?
Yes, I was. He was an extremely shy 19-year-old kid going to the university in Sendai, and was ranked probably 300 or 400 in the world. And, you know, the host country in the Asia Pacific is allowed to have a couple of more golfers. So there were 10 golfers from Japan. And not only was Hideki not a favorite in the tournament, he wasn't a favorite among the golfers from Japan playing in it. And the thing that stands out most to me was his coolness under pressure, because the third day of play there, he It was pouring rain. It was miserable weather conditions, and he shot a 65, which was one of the best rounds of amateur golf I've ever seen. And then when finishes up the next day and gets invited to the 2011 Masters. So he was the second winner, or winner of the second Asian Pacific Amateur. And I've kind of followed him since then. I covered him a lot during the 2011 Masters, and then he won the Asia Pacific Amateur again in 2011 and returned to the Masters in 12. So it's been great to see, and we had a nice conversation about this during the Masters this year, that it was a decade ago that he made his first trip to Augusta, and he's 29 years old now, and he's grown up a lot. He's won a bunch of tournaments on the Japan Tour and also in the PGA Tour, and now he's wearing a green jacket.
It was so historic. I was really nervous for him, but I'm so glad he was able to close it out. But how will his win impact golf in Japan? They're already so passionate about the sport, but what happens now? I mean, he was a rock star already, and now what do you think will happen?
I mean, I think to put it in context, and I talked the other day with Alistair Johnston about this, who was a vice chairman of IMG and was Arnold's business manager for years. And to appreciate that, you have to understand the Japanese are very interested and obsessed with brands. And the Masters brand to them, which really started to develop with Jack Arnold and Gary, and then in 1975 they started broadcasting to Japan, the Masters, they love that Masters brand. When I was over there in 2010, it was the first time that Billy Payne, then chairman of the Masters, and Augusta had allowed members to wear their green jackets off the grounds. And I marveled that entire tournament about how many Japanese spectators came up to the Masters, the Augusta National members, introduced themselves, touched their green jackets, had their photographs taken with them. I mean, they revere the Masters brand. And so that's what makes Hideki's win so historic and why it's going to be so monumental, because this is the favorite tournament in Japan by far. And so his winning that tournament of all tournaments is going to have an even greater impact. I don't know. Again, we talked about Tiger when he was great. Would he bring a lot of people into the game? And, there's mixed reviews on what really happened there. But I think Hideki's impact in Japan, having a green jacket and doing this win, is going to be enormous. It is going to increase the popularity of the game. Now you've got golf in the Olympics this summer, hopefully. The Olympics will be held and scheduled, and I think it'll encourage more kids to play, and that was a whole part of, the Asian Pacific Amateur, to develop interest and enthusiasm and growth in the game of golf over in Asia. And Japan's market is probably, with South Korea, the most mature of the golf markets in Asia, but this will just give it a further boost because they love the Masters.
John, can you talk about the pressure he may have been feeling during that final round because of all of Japan and the history of the win? And it just seemed like anybody would have cracked under that pressure, but he was able to hang on.
Well, he nearly did too, right? Three bogeys and four holes. I mean, it is enormous, and he was actually lucky about it. And he talked about this, that because of the COVID protocols, there are very few journalists from Asia and or Japan at the Masters. So that really helped him. And you've known from down there in years past, when a Japanese player like a Hideki or Ishikawa or any of the top Japanese players comes off the course and they're dealing with the media, there's always a scrum of television cameras and reporters and broadcasters and radio personalities from Japan there to speak with him as well. So it helped him out a great deal, I think, having that very, very small number of Japanese media there, because they really they would have been all over him, and I think that would have made it much, much harder for him than it already was. And, fortunately having that lead, that four-stroke lead, helped a lot. But he was leaking a little bit of oil, and you saw when he hit that shot on 15, he was so pumped up, he darn near flew the green and into, just hit it on the fly into the pond behind the green. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so he did a great job. I mean, I give him a lot of credit for that, because he was really tense. He was very nervous, and you could sort of see it. And then he put his approach shot at 18 into the greenside bunker, and you're like, oh, my goodness. But he managed to hold on, and he was greatly relieved. And I think this will just, you know, mean the world for him. And again, like it happens so many times with Masters winners, he's going to have great comfort level that he closed in a major, that he won this very, very important tournament, and that he can do it again and again if he needs to.
And Tokyo will host the Summer Olympics this summer, and perhaps he'll be the flag bearer.
Well, I've heard that talk, and that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And interestingly, the golf competition is being played in the same golf course where he won his Asia-Pacific Amateur. But, yeah, it would not surprise me at all to do that. I mean, I think right now he is Japan's most popular and biggest sports star. And it's going to be huge for him. And it'll be really interesting to see what his year is like now going forward, how he may change his schedule, what's going to be happening back in Japan, because I think there are going to be enormous demands on his time that he's never seen before.
And how about his caddy? And the photograph that was taken after they won, where he goes to the, you know, the green and he bows looking toward the 18th fairway. How moving was that?
You know, in a world gone mad in so many ways, to see that moment, I mean, I still get chills seeing that and thinking about it. It's so discreet. And it really moved people there. I just think people sort of saw that. And, you know, he took the flag off the pin, he put the pin back in the cup, he turned down the 18th fairway, and he bowed to the golf course in reverence and respect. I mean, my goodness, is that, I mean, Bobby Jones would have loved that one, right? If that's not the ultimate in sportsmanship. And it just was a perfect, perfect ending to a great week. And, you know, of course, is you and I have talked about this before, too, is, you know, the Tsubasa Katayani, or Katani, I'm probably getting it wrong, but, you know, the Japanese woman who won the Asia-Pacific Amateur the week before, the Saturday before the Masters, a 17-year-old girl from Japan. I mean, what a week for Japan in Augusta National. I mean, they had two wins. Have you never won at Augusta National before? They have two wins within a week, or just over a week, and that's got to help boost golf and the whole golf situation in Japan, having a man and a woman winning and doing so in such great fashion. I mean, you know, Tsubasa won in a playoff, Hideki coming in winning by a stroke. I mean, as I said in one of my pieces, I think they'll be celebrating in Tokyo and throughout Japan for a long time to come after that experience.
Absolutely. It was great to see such history. John, you're the best. Where are you going next? You travel all over the world. What's your next trip?
Well, you know, now that I've got my second COVID vaccine, I'm on my way to the Dominican Republic next week, and then out to California, and then to Big Cedar Lodge to check out Tiger's new course, which I couldn't do last year because of the pandemic, and start to hit the road again. So I'm very excited about that. But be down at Casa de Campo, which I know you love, and then I'll be out in at the Cal Club in Pebble Beach. I'm going to check out the new Peter Hay or what they call the John Hay, I guess Peter Hay golf course, the par three course the Tiger redid there, and really looking forward to getting on the road again and seeing some places after being holed up for almost a year.
On the road again with John Steinbrenner. Thanks so much, John. Always a pleasure to catch up with you.
And hey, great chatting with you. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, my exclusive interview with the legendary Gary Player. He opens up about his son, Wayne, Wayne's antics at the honorary starter ceremony, and lots more.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. I'm here with the legendary Gary Player, winner of 9 major titles, 9 senior major titles, 165 tournaments around the world on 6 continents over 7 decades. Gary, it is a pleasure to have you on Talking Golf.
Well, thank you, Ann. Nice to talk to you. This is the second time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. And when you think of international ambassadors for the game, you think of Gary Player, 85 years young.
That's exactly right.
Unbelievable. Very inspirational. In fact, you and I were doing push-ups and sit-ups in the driveway at your daughter's home last summer.
Yeah, you're the first chick that ever beat me.
I know.
I'm not married to you. If I came home late, I'd be in serious trouble.
You were impressed by my biceps and my 14-year-old golden retriever, and Scott were watching us. So it's really a memory I will never forget. I treasure it. Every conversation I treasure with you. But when you think of international ambassadors for the game, you think of Gary Player. The fact that Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters, being the first man from Japan to win a major title, is so great for the game globally, isn't it, Gary?
It really is, and I've been to Japan on more than 30 occasions, and Viv, and I made so many friends there, and they had so many wonderful golfers, and, you know, Aoki finished second to Jack Nicklaus in the U.S. Open, and they've had a host of really good players, and, you know, 6% of Japan play golf. So this is a very, very big victory. And I must tell you that had that not had this COVID, they would have had at least 60 pressmen from Japan to cover it. And I said to Matsuyama, I said, now you've won the Masters, I'm so pleased because you'll be president and I won't need a visa to visit Japan.
He certainly is even going to be more of a rock star in Japan, for sure. And, you know, Xander Schauffele turned up the volume on the second nine. Four straight birdies before he tripled the 16th. And I was getting nervous for Hideki Matsuyama.
So was I. And this is a great lesson. It's surprising, though, throughout history. If you go back to 1978, and I was seven behind Tom Watson and shot 64, came back in 30 on the back nine to win. The next week, I went down to the Tournament of Champions at La Costa, California, and I was seven behind Ballesteros on a cold day, and I shot 65 and beat him. And then the next week, I went to Houston, six behind Andy Bean, and shot another 64. So I went 64, 65, 64, and won three in a row, and I was 20 shots behind those three tournaments in a, with one round to go. So I'm telling everybody, listen, you have you any idea what it's like to lead Augusta? The pressure, you come down the line, you're playing nicely, you're even par, and some of the guys six under. It's nerve-wracking. It's something that I want to tell you. It puts that's why I'm pretty gray at 85, having had played there 52 times. You can have a 10-shot lead there and not win. One year, I was nine shots behind Arnold Palmer, playing the third hole, and playing the 11th hole, I was two shots ahead. Can you imagine this? I mean, but anyway, he hung in there. I call him Soufflé because I like to give everybody a nickname. Soufflé, I mean, just had he's a wonderful young man, very well behaved, and is a gentleman, and had a great chance to win. And the one thing you cannot do, that 16th hole, you've got to hit a draw in there. You've got to aim on the right-hand side of the green.
That's right.
You can't get greedy. You aim on the right-hand side of the green, and if you hit the green with a little draw, you're going to run down to the pin. You can't. You've got to aim more to the right than you think.
Absolutely. And the young woman from Japan won the Augusta National Women's Amateur as well, Tsubasa Kachitani. So what a week for the Japanese players. Let's switch focus to Lee Elder, the first black player to compete in the Masters. He joined you and Jack Nicklaus, Gary, as honorary starters to kick off the Masters. What did that mean to you?
Well, it meant an awful lot to me. And I think this was the most historic Masters that I played in. In 1969, I wanted to put a spoke in the wheel of segregation in South Africa, and I invited Lee Elder to come down to play in our PGA. He was obviously very scared and reluctant to come, but I convinced him that it would be fine, and he came down against a lot of black people's better wishes here. He came down, he got standing ovations, they loved him, and we went to other venues. And we did a lot of good work together. I was called a traitor for inviting a black man to play in our tour. You know how things were in the old days in America and South Africa. And it went off great. And he had a lot of courage to come down and do that. And, you know, he started off in the caddy ranks and built himself up and became a very, very good player. You know, I think he tied with Jack Nicklaus at Akron, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken, and lost in a playoff or something very close. He could really play. And there, but unfortunately, he's not very healthy. But to have him on the first tee, you see, the first tee's brought back many great memories to me. There, the previous year, when Arnold Palmer, my dear friend, had died, they had his chair on the first tee with his jacket hanging over there, and Jack Nicklaus and I were in tears. I mean, this first tee is quite a thing. And that's why I train. When I go to the gym, I train like crazy for one of the things, and that's to hit a great drive down the first hole, because 1 billion people see you hit it. I got emails and SMSs from around the world. What a great shot, and it was actually the best drive I've hit in the last year. I mean, I really creamed it. I mean, I hit it 52 yards past Jack. And so, you know, it's the whole thing is just, it's a spectacular ambiance. That's the best way to put it.
Well, Gary, I know it's difficult to discuss, but your son Wayne is in a lot of hot water based on what happened on the first tee during that incredible ceremony and something that's so revered. And I know as a father, being a parent is so challenging, but he's a mature adult. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, look, you know, if you do something that people don't agree with, but don't forget that everybody in the world makes mistakes. Now, I'm the first to admit that wasn't the most intelligent thing to do. I don't think he did it with any malice. I mean, he was, you know, basically telling his friends, my father will play with this ball, and I think his friends didn't believe it because it's not a ball on the market. But it was wrong, and I said to Augusta, listen, a man's got to take his punishment. If he does something wrong and you don't want him back here again, then just bar him. You know, that's what you got to do. But, you know, I think people in this world today are very, I'm not saying Augusta at all, I'm just talking about generally speaking. You know, when I got the Medal of Freedom, which is the greatest honor can be bestowed upon you in America, I spent my life fighting for freedom, my life. I built churches in South Africa for black people. I built schools. I sponsored black golfers. I resigned from the PGA as president because I asked them to vote a couple of black gentlemen on the PGA, and they never did, so I resigned. I wore black and white pants at the British Open in St. Andrews as a quiet demonstration. And when I got the Medal of Freedom, because Donald Trump gave it to me, it's not a Donald Trump award. This is American award. This was started with Kennedy way, way back in history. And I was called a racist because I took it from Donald Trump. So you got to understand there are a lot of people with a lot of hatred in their hearts. And what did Dr. Martin Luther King and Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi say? Three of the greatest leaders the world's ever known. They were persecuted, and they loved people, and they said, love will always beat hate.
Congratulations, Gary, on getting the Medal of Freedom. That is a huge honor. I think it was the timing of when, you know, you and Annika received that Medal of Freedom that was controversial, and that was, you know, a Donald Trump scheduling issue, but it is truly an honor. But going back to Wayne, do you know if it's true? Will he be banned from Augusta National and the Masters going forward? Do you know?
I don't know. And if he is, so be it. It's not the end of the world for him. If they do, that's fine. That's fine. Then he must just accept the punishment. But life goes on. And, you know, he said to me, Dad, I didn't mean to do anything that was detrimental or against Augusta. And Lee Elder is a very dear friend of Wayne's, a very dear friend. And he even phoned Lee Elder. Lee Elder said, don't worry about it. He said, my goodness me, I've always loved you and you love me. So, but, you know, people make things so bad. But anyway, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. If you do something Augusta doesn't like, let me tell you, Augusta have done a lot of things that a lot of people don't like as well throughout history. But that's their course. It's their tournament. And you've got to abide by their rules. And if you don't, you've got to be asked to leave. And we'll see what their verdict is in the end. Whatever happens, so be it.
How do you deal with these ups and downs, Gary? I mean, dealing with these issues that have become so very public. A lot of people have issues with their families, right? Whether they're young or very mature. But, I mean, this is all played out globally because of how popular you are and how well-known you are, and you're right there on the first tee.
Yeah, but every parent has problems with their children. I mean, there's no parent that's ever existed that doesn't have problems with their children. And this is part of, I suppose it's part of a family. Look, I'm very blessed. We have 6 children, 22 grandchildren of all colors and nationalities. We have a United Nations. I've been with my wife for 71 years. You know, we've had a wonderful journey. Am I going to worry about a few jerks that write in and condemn me for something? They don't even know us. They don't have no idea. They just get pleasure. They get great pleasure in crucifying and condemning people. If you cannot take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Mark has had some issues as well. How are things going with Mark Player, another one of your sons?
You know, he really, I was very disappointed the way he criticized his brother. My goodness me, that's the pot calling the kettle black. So, I mean, you know, but, you know, when you just keep moving ahead. You're like Old Man River. You keep rolling along. We've changed our business structure now. Mark is not with us anymore. He's my son, but we have a new team. We're doing very well. We got lots of ideas for charity and for representing companies and traveling around the world. We got lots of great ideas and a great team. And we're all smiling as we walk along.
It's very difficult for any of us to imagine what Lee Outer went through as a black man in a sport that was not opened at all to black competitors at that time.
Correct. Now, let's just look what happened to me. I wasn't allowed to play golf because I was a South African. I wasn't allowed to play in Japan, Denmark, Sweden, China, India. I can rattle off all the countries. Thank God for a country like America and Britain and Australia, where democracy is at the fore. The freedom is there. As you know, freedom is dying around the rest of the world. It's dying rapidly, and it's on a downward grade in America. The freedom is also starting to diminish here in America, which is sad. But very sad for me, because there's nobody of the 350 million people that loves America more than I do. But you take when I played at Dayton, Ohio. I mean, the things that happened to me in my career are also pretty sad. I'm playing in the PGA, which I lost by one shot. They threw telephone books in my back, ice in my eyes, charged me on the green, threw balls between my legs, screamed on my backswing, and I lost the PGA by one. I was not bitter. I was not bitter. I said, well, that's the punishment that I've got to take as a South African. I said, I didn't invent segregation in my country. I said, but they were trying to get at me so they could get at the government to eradicate segregation. But I took it like a man. You know, you go through all the things that happen to you in your life. Everybody has something, and you just got to keep fighting and do the best. And that's what Lee Elder did, and that's why I love him, and that's why we've been the best of friends. He asked me, he got the Bobby Jones Award, he asked me to introduce him to the Bobby Jones Award. Charlie Sifford, who was never allowed to play in America when he first started, he asked me to induct him into the Hall of Fame, a white South African. So, you know, all the honors, you have good things in life and you have bad things in life. And as long as your family, everybody will have problems with their family. As long as they have love, unmeasured love in their heart, that's the most important thing. Respect, to honor thy mother and thy father, and to have respect and love in their heart.
Well, you are a true inspiration, Gary Player, and I thank you so much for joining me. I do have one other comment, and I think your daughter Amanda should have caddied for you the other day.
Say that again.
Or one of your grandkids. I'm just saying.
What did they do?
I said, I think the other day when you were hitting the honorary tee shot at Augusta National, your daughter Amanda should have caddied for you or one of your grandkids.
That would have saved a lot of trouble, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, but you can't work out things in life. Actually, it was all planned for my business friend in South Africa to caddy for me, but he couldn't get out of South Africa. So at the last minute, and you see people write in, oh, this was all planned by Wayne. And it wasn't, because he came in at the very last minute. My friend from South Africa couldn't get here because of the COVID. And so you see, people all know everything, but they don't know the true facts of the story. But anyway, that's fine. You know, we keep smiling. As they say, be happy. Don't make trouble. Otherwise, you make it double. Be happy.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview, his honesty and really downright openness. And let me add that Gary's wife of 64 years, Vivian, she's not well. She has pancreatic cancer. And so we're sending prayers to her and the entire player family. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori was brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. My thanks again to Gary Player. My thanks to John Steinbrenner, to Ed Arzuman in the studio, to Connor Green for his help during the week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Remember to have love in your heart, not hate. Stay tuned for the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf, and we'll meet again next Sunday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.